Hey, this is episode 98 of the Jogging Nerd Podcast. Thanks for pressing play. Listener, if you are a Spider-Man fan, then you are going to love this episode. You may not know it, but there's a lot of non-Peter Parker spider people out there. Joining us is our buddy, fellow Spidey fan, Peter Kendall from HD1Jump.com to take us through the Spider-Verse. We discuss everything from Spider-Gwen to Gwenpool. We mentioned a lot of titles in this episode. You're going to want to check out the show notes at jockinerd.com/98, and you might get turned on to some new books. Grab your web shooters as we swing through the current Marvel Comics Spider-Verse.
My spider shits are tingling.
It's the Jockin' Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Yo, what's up, listener? Thanks for tuning in. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
Thanks for joining us on this awesome celebration of Spider-Man. And since we're celebrating the Spider-Verse in this episode, we have to have a fellow Spider-Man fan, video game journalist, podcaster, and actor, Peter Kendall. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Imran and Anthony. It's great to be back.
Thanks for coming on, and thanks for the idea for this show.
I think it's good timing on this.
It's very good timing. We are preempting the Spider-Man hype, because for those who don't know, there's a little movie coming out very soon called Captain America Civil War, where we are going to be introduced to yet again a new Spider-Man, but this Spider-Man's awesome.
Hopefully the final Spider-Man for a while.
Yes, please. Stick with Tom Holland. This is Marvel Studios Spider-Man. And we're going to get to see him at Civil War, and I can't...
Geek boner!
Peter, you are a huge Spider-Man fan, and I have yet to hear your thoughts on this new Spider-Man. What, when you saw that trailer, where at the very end, they finally gave us, hey, Underoos, and we got a little, hey, everybody, I kind of lost my shit. What did you think?
In that tiny second, I have a high hopes about this, because... In that tiny second of dialogue, he portrayed something that I think had been missing from every single Spider-Man incarnation ever made, and that's fear. He sounds like a scared little boy, and that's what he should be. He's a 15-year-old kid in his pajamas, hanging out with people who are gods with full suits of armor and military training. He should be scared shitless.
And I think it was just shocking to hear that voice come out from a spider. We've never seen that.
Yeah, people think they give Spider-Man, like, he's like, oh, he's fighting adults all the time. It's just like he really shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be there. And he is.
He's way in over his head all the time. And I don't know if you've seen, I put like a self-imposed media blackout on watching any of the 30 Captain America spots.
I have to, but I've fallen.
And
I've tried so hard.
You know, I have fallen as well.
Anthony's watched all of them, but from what I understand, that those things aren't giving away anything from the story. The review's already out saying this is an amazing movie. So what broke me was, I was like, I wonder if they're going to show us a little more Spider-Man. And guess what they do? So all in all, we've seen maybe 9 seconds of Spider-Man that have given us so much character.
Have you seen those, Peter?
Oh, yeah. I watched that little... I watched a GIF of him swinging through the window like 9 times.
All right, let's talk about that. Just another little 3 seconds. We have... By the time listeners hear this, we have... I've probably geeked about this already. But he's swinging in, knocking down the Falcon, catching Winter Soldier's fist, and then effortlessly... puns, Spider-Man puns, classic puns.
And it wasn't a pun.
Well, it was a little.
What the hell are you talking about?
Stark. It was a comment.
I guess I meant a jokey comment. I'm anticipating really bad, really awesome puns. But
that's what I'm really excited about, because I don't know if I've talked to you about this, Imran, before, about the main thing that I think has been missing from every Spider-Man incarnation is that fear. Is that so many people think Spidey as like the snarky know-it-all, that he's this guy who oh, of course all these villains hate him. He makes fun of them all the time. He's just a cocky smartass. And he's not. Yeah. He's scared pissless. He's in his pajamas. And how he deals with being scared is cracking jokes.
Yeah,
it's how it's how he calms himself down, and it's how he gets other people to underestimate him so he can win.
The quips are a self-defense mechanism. And if you think about it, if you think about it from the villain's point of view, you're like, this dude's a dick. Like, if you were that, you're like, this fucking asshole,
he's making dumb puns. He couldn't possibly have figured out my super advanced megalomaniacal death weapon. Oh, shit, he did.
What did you think of his line of dialogue? Did you see that with the Winter Soldier?
Yeah, you have a metal arm? That's awesome. Like, you know, the issue with right now that I'm having in terms – like, I feel bad for, like, 9 or 10-year-olds right now who are, like, getting into comic books and getting into movies. Because between this and Batman v Superman, it's just like, why are all the superheroes fighting each other? Like, why is it – no one's getting along right now. It's like, no, they really shouldn't be fighting each other, but they are.
Why is everybody angry? I think this movie will give you a much better plausible character reason for them fight, and you'll be like, oh, I get it now. Whereas maybe the other movie was like, I still don't understand why they were fighting each other.
Well, their mothers have the same name.
That always cures everything. Oh, any fight that you've ever been, if you got mothers with the same name, it's all good.
Martha?
Oh, boy. It's all good. The Martha incident.
Peter, did you see the – there was another clip that came out today with Peter Parker. A very short clip.
If you haven't seen it,
then I don't want to spoil it.
No, I've only seen him taking Cap's shield and then stopping the Winter Soldier's arm. Yeah,
there was another one that was released today, but I won't get your thoughts on it because you haven't seen it.
I just bought my ticket today. I just bought it like 3 hours ago.
This thing is tracking to do 190 million opening weekend, and I've also bought my ticket for opening day. And Anthony always see these movies.
I'm buying it the actual opening day.
The day before, which is now the real. Yeah. The opening day isn't even opening day anymore.
I hate that. Yes. I hate that I can get midnight premiere tickets for 7 p.m. Like, what is that shit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They might as well just put it out 3 days earlier. So,
madness.
And then next summer, we're going to get Spider-Man Homecoming. Geek Boner.
Shit, that is next year. See, this is what freaked me out so much is that it seemed so close to the announcement that Marvel officially like pretty much has Spider-Man, but like has to like deal with Sony or whatever that bullshit is.
Yeah.
But like from the announcement that like, okay, Marvel can use Spider-Man, they can use that stuff. Like we all thought like, oh, is he just going to get like a cameo at the end?
Yeah.
Like, but it seems like he's in some of Civil War. He's in like a good amount of Civil War by what it seems.
I love we're getting so much. I mean, Aunt May's in Civil War. I think you're going to see Queens in Civil War and his home. Like, it's going to be amazing.
I can't. Marissa Tomei as Aunt May, I'm so curious to see.
How do you feel about that? Because Aunt May just got – she's got – considerably younger and hotter.
They Benjamin Buttons Aunt May.
All I'm thinking of is my cousin Vinny. Like, that's my only Marissa Tomei. And all I'm thinking is her in that jumpsuit in my cousin Vinny. I'm like, that's Aunt May. I'm like, okay, whatever.
My scientific clock is ticking like this.
Biological.
It would be many times. In as Aunt May, she's going to be like, my scientific web shooter clock is ticking like this. But I'm okay with it. Like, she's a great actress. I still think they'll be able to pull it off. And do you like the title Homecoming?
Yeah. There's like it's very punny. It's gonna be him.
That's actually a pun.
That one is the pun. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, the kind of meta pun of like, oh, Spider-Man's finally home. Marvel finally has him. There's probably going to be some sort of homecoming dance. What I'm actually most excited about is that the villain is heavily rumored to be the Vulture, which I think is a great choice.
Not Michael Keaton, which I would have loved.
It would have been great.
Yeah.
But just that the fact that they're doing the Vulture, a more unknown hero villain, is so great, and I love it so much.
What's also kind of cool is since Tom Holland is actually young in real life and not a almost 30-year-old playing a high schooler, and then just that dichotomy of having a really young kid and a really old dude potentially, it's going to be really fun.
Adrian Toomes is. Like started off as like an old man. He's been like 50 forever, like 50 or 60. Like even Doc Ock, like mid to late 30s, maybe early 40s. And has like aged a little bit.
Yeah.
Adrian Toomes was always an old man.
He was, he's like William Dafoe, just always old. He always looks old. He came out.
Like the Joker.
Yeah. But man, I like just already the logo, the way that this is a kid and it's high school. It's something we haven't seen. It's going to be fresh. It's, you know, they want to go for this John Hughes vibe. I'm digging this diverse cast and the writers.
Yeah, did you hear about the Disney girl that just got cast?
Zendaya. And then there's a couple of others. There's a. There's a Guatemalan dude. It's just a very – it's a nice, diverse cast that they
I got to correct you. And we've seen the high school stuff, but again, we haven't seen it with actual high schoolers.
Oh, yeah. No, not a 30-year-old fucking Tobey Maguire that does not
look – Andrew Garfield, I think, when he had the role, was like 27, 28, too. Yeah,
so and Emma Stone does not look like she's in high school. No. I'm sorry.
I mean, I've been – I think have I talked – I always forget what we've talked about with Spider-Man, but I'm done with high school Pete. It's so fucking annoying and overdone, but whatever. Marvel's doing it. It's going to be great.
We haven't seen Marvel do it on screen like this, though, I think.
He graduated high school within the first 100 issues of Spider-Man.
He did.
Like in the fucking 70s. Yeah. But people keep him in high school for no goddamn reason.
Yeah. Well, and then I think we have Ultimate Spider-Man, Brian Michael Bendis' series, a little bit to blame because...
I think also they want to do it in the high school sense. I know we've seen it, but... It's going to be so different compared. I mean, all the actors that they've cast in hero roles are all like in their late 30s now, early 40s. So we to actually have a 19-year-old on set, it'll be different.
Yeah, it's always been kind of interesting with the Marvel Cinematic Universe that they've always like Robert Downey Jr. was like what late 30s, early 40s when he was
in his 40s. Yep.
Yeah, he started Iron Man, and then like all of those heroes are like adults, not like the quintessential young 20-something hot guy. Right. And now they're going to pretty much the exact opposite, this really young kid, which is really interesting.
Yep.
Peter, you could play a high school Peter Parker, Kendall.
I know. I look too old. I don't. I'd be Tobey Maguire-esque. I think so many people tell me about that. They're like, oh, wouldn't you like love to play Peter Parker? I'm like, I don't think I'd be a good Peter Parker. I don't think I would be good
at
that.
Understand the character.
You could be Peter Parker at the age you currently are at?
I could. Like, could I be like a mid-20s Pete?
Yeah.
Probably. I could probably do Pete in the comics right now, like Parker Industries Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like young CEO. Yeah.
This is the cosplay I want to do. I want to do that. You know that Superman cosplay so many people do where they just wear a suit and they have the Superman logo underneath?
Yeah.
That was actually my costume this year for Halloween.
Yeah. It's a great outfit. I want to do a suit with the Spider-Man logo underneath and then just do a little Parker Industries logo on it. Like, that's what I want mine to be.
Yeah.
That is a great idea. And this is really why, Peter, you had this idea for the show. And this is a great idea because, like we said, we're kind of doing a preemptive strike on the Spider-Man hype because from now till next summer, we're going to get set photos. We're going to get casting news, story news for Spider-Man Homecoming. And believe you me, listener, we'll be covering all that shit right here on the Jock and Nerd podcast. Make sure you subscribe. But people are going to leave Civil War and they're going to be turned on with this new young Spider-Man. They're going to want to see more. And if they go to the comic book store to see what is offered right now, you are not going to find a teenage Peter Parker in the comics.
No, they are.
Not currently, not new. Yeah. I mean, you can go back.
No, there is. There is.
I was also corrected. There's a title called Spidey. There's a lot of spider titles. But the logo is reminiscent of like the Electric Street. What was that? The PBS show with the Spider-Man stories. That's what it reminds me of. But they're like one-off stories of Peter in high school. It's very light. It's very – there doesn't seem to be – you know, they're just having fun.
It's not like a straight – yeah, if you want high school Spider-Man, you have to read Spider-Man like Miles Morales. You're going to have to go Miles Morales.
Or you go back and you read Ultimate and, you know, in the current –
Have you read Learning to Crawl?
I did read that. That was really good.
Really good.
Where it was another guy trying to be a superhero at the same time and just got overshadowed by
– Same like Sonic, Shockwave, something like that. And then he pops up And then after they finished that series, he popped up in like modern day Spider-Man, and he like works for Parker Industries now.
Ah, so we should explain real quick. If you go right now and you buy the recent issues of Amazing Spider-Man, you're going to find a really different Peter Parker, an adult, just like you said, Kendall, an adult Peter who is in charge, a CEO of a giant Parker Industries who's globetrotting. I mean, every issue takes place in multiple countries. He's got crazy tech on his suit now. And what do you think of that, what they've done with that so far?
I'm loving him. I'm loving the bold choices they're making. Like, there were – like, Spider-Man has evolved so much. There was that – like I said before, graduating him from high school, putting him in college, then making him work at the Daily Bugle. And then eventually they decided to marry MJ.
Yeah.
And then they eventually they've done all these bold, like, Spider-Man has changed a lot. And this is another natural level of his evolution. Whereas also he's essentially Tony Stark now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tony Stark in California being semi-evil because of inversion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pete's essentially Tony Stark now, which is great.
Yeah, you have a very responsible Peter in a different way. But
let me ask you this, Peter. I know that they've evolved the character. It seems like a natural progression, but they always, with what, one more day, they wanted to revert him back to being kind of the old, like the old school Peter Parker, not having a wife and all that stuff, because dumb Parker luck, all that stuff. So you think they'll stay on this track, or do you think they'll be like, oh, wait, we got to turn him back to old, or the young Peter Parker again?
Brand New Day was the shittiest thing that needed to happen.
Okay.
Like, the stories that came after Brand New Day was amazing. We wouldn't have gotten Parker Industries or the Doc Ock switch or Anna Maria Marconi or Carly Cooper or any of these great new characters or the whole new Black Cat arc that's going on. I'm loving what they're doing with Black Cat. We wouldn't have gotten any of these if they didn't do the hard reset.
Yeah, they kind of wrote themselves into a corner.
Yeah, he was too happy.
He was too happy. Yeah, and you missed the single Pete that's got a lot at risk, that he's running around with his head chopped off, you know, not knowing what he's doing. But after like 50 years of Spider-Man, like now he's moved into adulthood, finally.
Could they have done it better? I don't know. I'm not a comic book writer, but I know it needed to be done, and then the revamp of it, especially the arc where they reintroduced the Sinister Six, was astounding.
I just bought this today was New Comic Book Day, and I got Amazing Spider-Man 11. It's the end of the Zodiac storyline.
Yeah, the finale that came out today. The Zodiacs are so – he came from space, Imran.
He fell.
He came from space.
Anthony, Peter was in
you didn't need to explain
in this. A space – he was up in a satellite in a spacesuit and fell. It's kind of crazy. Fell all the way through the atmosphere and just and then he was fine, of course. But
I mean, he wasn't fine.
I mean, he was hurting pretty bad. Yeah,
he made his suit because he had to repurpose a satellite to find out where the Zodiac was, who they literally could have been anywhere on the planet. He found out what it was, and his plan was to dive bomb into the planet. So he made like a super duper tough spacesuit that as soon as he was re-entering the orbit, he's like, yeah, Iron Man does this shit all the time, I'm not gonna die. And he's like, oh fuck, this is tough. So he literally webs himself with as much fluid as possible. That all breaks away. He comes in like a goddamn comet and like almost dies.
That's awesome.
But he lives, but he like it like barely works.
That's typical Pete though. He's not the smoothest.
No. The amount of times Spidey gets his outfit torn up astounds me. Like the hat. What's your favorite like destroyed Spidey suit trope?
The hat. Well, the half face where you see one eye.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's a white guy. At least we know it's a white guy under the suit. And of course, the classic being way back when he got his costume, the black symbiote costume, and he had to wear a Fantastic Four costume with a paper bag over his head.
Bagman. Yes.
Oh, that was great. Like this, and then of course we can't forget when he's in Germany and he used to buy a suit from the German costume shop, and it says D Spinny on the back. It's like a because he forgot to bring a suit. So there's always great rip toward alternate costumes.
Yeah. But his outfit gets destroyed constantly. It's great.
And like now there's tech in that shit. So
I originally hated like the kind of sheen, metallic sheen on it, but I really like it.
I kind of like the glowy eyes and the heads up display. And
And the emblem on his chest is like kind of green and shit. Yeah, he's got like, really liking it.
He's got all these crazy wacky web shooters too. Like he could shoot like concrete webs. And
I don't understand why he has to make it vocal commands. He has to be like computer cartridge 5. I'm like, what the, just click a button, Spidey. Like, what are you doing?
It's voice activated. Like Siri, give me the stun webs.
No, don't just click a button. We're better than that.
Look, it's tied into his Apple Watch. I don't know.
No, it's the.
The webware.
The webware.
So he has like his own OS that world is using that got hijacked. And check out Amazing Spider-Man. There's 11 issues out by the
time. I have a feeling we'll be seeing that very soon in the movies with him and Iron Man.
Webware?
More of a tech-based feel on the costume.
Whoa.
Well, that's always been an interesting thing, which is why Spidey was so important in Civil War, is that he embodies the idea of what a hero should be for Iron Man and for Captain America.
Yeah.
They both consider him like the best new hero because he's got heart and he's loyal. So Cap loves him and he's smart and efficient. So Iron Man loves him.
He's the, he's like both of them combined.
Yeah. And that's why they both love him so much, was why they were fighting over him so much in Civil War.
And the cool thing about Spidey, he equally respects, I think, both of them as well.
Oh,
he looks
yes.
up to Tony. Like, Tony's his idol, probably.
Yeah.
But Cap is, like, his ideal.
I always thought Cap was his hero idol. Like, he has goo-goo eyes.
Tony's like his. Tony's like a dad to him.
Yeah, like his mentor.
Captain America's like what a hero should be, like a god to him.
Right.
Yeah.
So, if you go, you see this movie, you're going to go, maybe you go to the comic book store if you can find one. They're still out there. And you're like, hey, I want to check out some Spider-Man. You are going to find a multitude of titles with a multitude of spider people.
Mm-hmm.
Many non-Peter Parker Spider-Man. There's like 7 titles. There's a whole mess. Peter, how did we get to this Spider-Verse?
I don't know. It literally happened the like 2 weeks ago or so when I messaged you. I was updating all my comics, and I looked. I'm like, I'm reading so many Spider comics that don't have Pete.
Yeah, yeah.
There are so many of them. Like, I've been reading for like 3 hours, and none of them has been Peter Parker.
Okay, and I think this is all fallout from their event right before the Secret War event called Spider-Verse. We met Spider people from every multiverse.
We met Spider-Gwen and a lot of other people.
Yeah.
We met Spider-Gwen and then some other people.
So, Pete, who do you think, who should we start out with first as far as Spider-Man titles or people that we should get to know?
I will shove Spider-Gwen into the face of everybody. It's so good. Well, the thing is, I don't think it's a great start because one of the beauties of Spider-Gwen is how it twists the Spider-Man ideas.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a comic book fan and you, of course, know, like, the origin and, like, Spidey's villains and shit like that, then read Spider-Gwen because it twists it all so much. And, like, who Gwen's – without spoiling too much, Gwen's Uncle Ben is Pete.
Yes.
And essentially –
which Gwen is this?
Well, okay, so, look, this is what happened. Let's backtrack. In Spider-Verse, there was a group of dudes named Inheritors, and they had this guy called Master Weaver who spun this web – that will give them access to every universe's Spider-Man. And they were going through the universes and killing all the spider totems. They wanted to clear out all the spider totems. Peter from Earth 616 gets a hold of this. He tries to jump through, grab a bunch of these people, and save the remaining Spider-Man. So now in the universe, now in the comic book continuity, they have these dimensional watches and they do jump through universe. It's kind of like what's going on the Flash a little bit with the multiverses. So on Earth 65, Gwen Stacy is friends with Peter and she gets bit by the radioactive spider, not Peter.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's in a band that her and Mary Jane and the other girls they're the Mary Jane. So she's not like Peter at all. She's like a musician. She's kind of a rebel. Peter looks up to Spider-Gwen and wants powers. So he starts to experiment on himself, and he turns himself into the Lizard.
I didn't know if you wanted to spoil it.
Why not? Yeah. You kind of need the setup for people to start.
It's a genius twist. Yeah. Pete becomes the Lizard and dies in Gwen's arms saying, I just wanted to be special like you, and like fucking dies. And she's like, oh. And then she gets blamed for Peter Parker's death. So there's all these billboards all over the place called – all over the city, like say 1-800-4-Peter – like find the Spider Woman murderer.
Speaking of, look, we're gonna spoil all this just to entice the listener to maybe pick up some of these things.
That's the start.
That's just the start of issue one. So in this world, there's a couple of fun twists. Frank Castle is a cop. He works, and Jean DeWolf, who died in our universe, she's captain, and then she makes her Gwen Stacy's father, Captain Stacy, go after Spider-Gwen.
Yes. And then we have a black female Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
And then Matt Murdock is evil, is like an evil lawyer. He's great.
Yes, Matt Murdock is the attorney for Kingpin.
Yes, it's so good.
So does this whole comic take place on this new Earth, or has she been brought into the main?
No, it's on Earth 65.
Okay.
Except in one title and some of these crossovers where they're jumping through universes. But her title takes place on Earth 65.
Well, if you read Spider-Gwen, you will never leave Earth 65. If you read like Spider-Women, she'll jump between dimensions.
And we'll get to that. That's a recent crossover. But Kendall, Spider-Gwen, why is she such a breakout hit? What does she strike a chord in people that the minute – she didn't even have her own book. She was introduced in – it was like a Spider-Verse crossover issue 2 random book.
Yeah, it was like Spider-Verse 3 or something like that. And her introduction was one of the best intros to a new character ever. She swings in, like helps out, and it – as Spider-Verse continues, they have these little boxes next to everyone, just like, this is Spider-Man from Earth, this is Spider-Knight, this is Spider, like, Noir, he's from this. And then put Spider-Gwen from Earth 65, aka your new favorite. Like, they knew.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They knew Spider-Gwen was going to be a fucking blast. They knew everyone was going to love her. Someone got a raise the day at Marvel when they thought of Spider-Gwen.
I mean, the suit is pretty dope, too. She's
kind of
got...
Is it because it's kind of that, like, bringing back Gwen Stacy, but not really sort of thing?
Nobody knew that we wanted Gwen Stacy back, and it's such a unique, different look to the costume. And then the art style of the comic is this great, like, gritty grunge. It reminds me of, like, the Jessica Drew comic. It's kind of, like messy, dirty street. And then having just... nobody knew we wanted... Gwen Stacy back until we saw her and we're like, this is fantastic. Like, this is all we need.
And the current series is written by Jason Latour, great writer, and art by Robbie Rodriguez, who, he kind of brings like a street.
It sounds like a fun Elseworlds kind of tale.
Yeah. And then it's currently over. There's like 12 or 13 issues and it's currently done.
No, but they started again. There's like three number one issues of Spider-Gwen in the last like year and a half. So...
Yes, we're on Spider-Gwen V2.
It's called Radioactive Spider-Gwen. It's an ongoing title again, and I think there's a couple of issues out. All of these that we're going to talk about are current ongoing titles after the reboot, after Secret Wars.
Radioactive there has been a new issue of Spider-Gwen for like 2 months or so. I need to buy it now.
No, I think it's still going because this crossover – Spider-Gwen is on issue 7. This Spider-Woman crossover – goes into Spider-Gwen. This is an ongoing title. Yeah. All of these are going to be, again, ongoing titles until Marvel's like, this one's not selling. Let's kill it. So to get to Spider-Gwen, I think we need to introduce two other spider people. One being the oldest one out of this crew who was introduced in 1977, Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman.
She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's a goddamn Avenger for a long time.
Yeah, she was an Avenger. She was in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ran the Avenger. She like ran S.H.I.E.L.D. for a bit. She was high ranking for a long time.
She was.
So what's her deal? What's going on with her in the comics?
She's got her deal as a power. She's got the spider. She doesn't have the spider sense, but she has the agility, speed, and strength. And her, instead of shooting webs, she can zap people.
Okay.
The cover for Spider-Woman number one, you can't miss it. It's amazing. She's pregnant. We got a pregnant Spider-Woman. This one's written by Dennis Hopeless, who's been writing this title for a while.
That costume looks radically different than...
Yes.
Yeah, they gave her a new outfit, which it's great. They gave her a badass motorcycle. And essentially, she quits the... It's a great arc because she quits the Avengers to become like a street hero again. And completely forgets how to be a street-level hero. Like, she keeps thinking that every mugging or cut purse is like this grand scheme of Hydra. And she's like taking it all way too seriously and like thinking that someone has to be behind all of this. Everyone's like, Jessica, calm the fuck down. These are just people. You need to chill out. Not everything leads back to Galactus, okay?
They're just thugs, man. Yeah, so how she got her powers was she needed spider blood to cure her of a childhood illness. And gave her adhesive fingertips and toes, enhanced agility, speed, and the ability to fire biokinetic venom blasts from her fingertips.
It was an experiment from her parents, right? They, like, experimented on her.
Oh, yeah.
Her parents, I think, injected her. She was a child, and her parents were scientists, and they, like, injected her with spider blood. Yeah. And she, like, really doesn't like her parents.
So, from what I understand in her book, it's pretty much like she's kind of taking the back seat, and she needs the help of, who is it, Porcupine? Who the fuck is Porcupine?
Porcupine, there is this... Before Spider-Woman ended with what I was talking about, she left the Avengers. She started being a street-level hero. She got tied up in this whole thing, and that arc of Spider-Woman's very, very, very good. She fights all these people. She fights this team of these kind of C-list supervillains. One of them is Porcupine. She finds out this guy Porcupine's not that bad of a guy. He's got a family. She decides to rehabilitate Porcupine and becomes a very good friend of hers.
Yeah.
When this starts up with this version of Spider-Woman, she's pregnant. She's like 6 months pregnant or so when we start. You don't know who the dad is.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who the dad is except for her. She's not telling anybody. It's a big mystery.
Yeah, they're going to drag that out.
Because she can still like kind of be Spider-Woman and like jump around and do things, but she has maternal instincts and like doesn't want to do that. So she's taking a backseat of being a superhero. She's kind of training Porcupine to take her place.
Yeah.
So it's her like in a chair, pregnant, yelling at Porcupine
and sometimes
to like beat up bad guys better.
Sometimes he has to babysit the kid too in a pinch, you know?
Eventually when it's been such an interesting, cause it's so relevant to today because she would never see herself as a mother.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what she's doing. She's very upset. It speaks to a lot of people in my generation today who are starting families, having kids, not thinking they should have kids. People who have kids for a little while now are remembering back like, oh yeah, I remember these exact moments of not thinking I could handle all this stuff. And me as like a single dude with no children that I know of is still very, enjoying it very much.
But like just that twist of, you know, this person who jumps into danger right away. Now she's thinking she's taking this moment to be like, oh, I got a baby. I don't know if I should just be running into this, even though I have powers.
That was a big mental. There was a great, she had this small monologue in one of the issues of saying that exact thing. Just like, I hate being scared. I hate having this alien growing inside of me that I'm afraid of, and I don't like being. She hasn't been she brings up like she's fought Galactus, but now she's afraid to like walk down the stairs because she might trip and fall and kill this thing.
Before we move on to any, you know, some of the other people, are there any guesses on who is the father?
Yeah, who could be the father?
We do know now.
We do know.
Oh, really?
In the second to latest issue, we find out who, and I'm not going to reveal
who
it is. But very, I'll tell you after the podcast if you want.
All right.
But it's a great concept. I've been loving this entire run of Spider-Woman.
I was going to guess Mole Man, but that was just.
And now what's great is that she's out. There's like this whole like. Now she finally, like, Porcupine, she had this whole thing of freaking out that, like, she left Porcupine with her baby and did all this stuff. And then she comes back and he's, kind of, like, completely fine because he was his wife. He was a stay-at-home dad for a while, so he's, like, 10 times better at doing this than she ever was.
That's great. So she's teaching him how to be a hero. He's teaching her how to take care of a fucking baby.
Isn't it great? Comic book. And then she punches aliens. She punches Kree in like an alien hospital in one issue, which is fun. So you get to punch people still.
She must have been really just had a drunk night out with Mole Man and just not remembered who she had.
There's this great thing where her friends, like Carol Danvers, like drags her out of
Captain
her apartment.
Marvel.
Just like, you're coming out and drinking with us.
Yeah.
This is happening. And there's all these little things, vignettes of everyone like drinking and having fun, and her just in the corner worried.
Yeah. That's like, oh man, I'm going to have to pick up more of that.
That sounds really good because a lot of the stakes aren't, you know, world ending, but I like it. Like, it feels more personal from what you're describing.
It's extremely personal and an extremely interesting journey.
It's actually one of the titles I have not checked out yet, and I think I may buy the trades.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, Imra!
John.
Hey, Rug Boy.
Wouldn't it be great, since we're putting out all this content, that our listeners could support us? Maybe we had some kind of, like, website or a way for them to do that?
Rugs, that's a great idea. Give me one second. I'll be right back.
Jock and Nerd.
Okay, it's all set up, listener. Just visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon.
Wowie zowie!
Patreon is our virtual tip jar where you can donate any amount of money, either per month or a nice large sum all at once. And on that Patreon, you get bonus content, as Imran mentioned. But if we hit certain plateaus every month, we improve our production quality. We get better equipment. We get on more platforms. It only helps us. So please get on to patreon.com/jockandnerd or jockandnerd.com/Patreon and support the show.
Jocktastic! I hear change jingling in your pocket. Don't fucking fuck me over, guys. Do it!
In a world where so many podcasts offer TV and movie news, along comes another one filled to the brim with podcasty goodness that is only slightly better at best.
Admit it, you're always looking for a new brand of meaningless movie nonsense in your podcast diet?
Look for the 365 Flicks podcast on Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, and all good third-party podcast apps. You can also swing by the Facebook page.
Come join in on the adventures of Kev, a pissy ex-video store clerk.
And Chris, a Scottish Whedon Hall.
We're your vocal heroes of pissy opinion.
We bring you all the latest TV and movie news, reviews, and general geeky rants.
As well as a bunch of top fives that you really won't care about. So whether you're Team Iron Man or Team Cap,
you're Team Batman or Team Superman,
drop on by the 365 Flicks podcast, where the Chris versus Kev civil war never stops.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
Now, let's introduce a third female Spider-Man to kind of complete this trinity. And this is one little girl called Cindy Moon, otherwise known as Silk. Peter, what's the deal with Silk? I want you to explain it, because this is kind of fantastic.
It's not fantastic. She is the most interesting character with the backstory that pisses me off the most.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Let's hear it.
It's the shittiest, laziest backstory.
It's kind of shoehorned. The backstory
is that, unbeknownst to all of us, the spider that bit Pete on the day he became Spider-Man bit somebody else before he died. Like, what is – come on. Talk really, guys? You. And then we've never heard about it.
Of course not. Why?
She's been locked in a vault for 10 years.
Okay, a lot of this – yeah.
That is super comic
book. Fuck you.
She – they put a little little girl in a bunker in a room for 10 years.
Ezekiel did.
Wow. Oh, it was Ezekiel. And so, you know, Peter is drawn to her and lets her out because – and he's not supposed to. This is what sets off – kind of the Spider-Verse, because these inheritors were kind of looking for her mainly the whole time. Yeah. It's what tipped them off. So he lets her out. And she's like, dude, what are you doing? Close the door. I'm not supposed to be out. But now she's out.
She had this whole thing that Ezekiel told her that if she ever left, she would destroy the world. So it's this whole thing of 10 years of like her struggling to stay in there all the time and like not wanting to leave because all this scary stuff, like, oh, if I leave, all of my friends and loved ones are going to die. So she's like, after a while, she gets like Stockholm syndrome and like is this kind of self-imposed exile. And it's shitty. She's great now that she's out. All of her references are outdated. Like, they're all 90s references.
That's really funny. So her superpowers are superhuman strength, speed, agility, and the ability to spin webbing from her fingertips.
Yeah, which is great. And she also has a spider sense.
So in her standalone book that's written by Robbie Thompson, art by Stacy Lee, she's looking for her brother.
Yes. Fun fact about her other thing, since her webbing comes out of her fingertips, she has a lot more control over it. So her suit is literally her webbing.
It's all webbing because, like, she can fashion it really.
Yeah, she literally weaves herself a suit whenever she needs to like go be a superhero. So she just like weaves it.
So what's the title like now that we got rid of the shitty or we're past the shitty origin?
What's great now is that, yes, there's this whole arc that when she left 10 years ago, she had a boyfriend. She was like going to like it was high school boyfriend that she loved. He's engaged now. She's dealing with that shit. Her brother's missing. She's trying to find out what happened to her parents. Also, but the most interesting thing right now is that she's working with the Avengers and working undercover in Black Cat's army.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So she reports to fucking Mockingbird.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good.
And she's
essentially, shit went down. There's a thing called Goblin Nation, and that was a whole Spider-Man arc. Essentially, a lot of the gang shut down, and Black Cat took power. For all intents and purposes, Black Cat is kingpin right now.
She's running the crime. Uh-oh, yeah, she's running
she's
the
running
crime
everything.
Scene in New York City.
Everyone's pissed scared of her. Yeah. She has a new outfit and like a chain belt whip thing that's awesome.
And she wants Peter. She wants Peter dead. It's pretty badass.
She hates Pete so much.
Yeah, because he punched her in the face. It was great.
It was beautiful.
But it wasn't him. It was Doc Ock in him in his head. That's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other thing.
But she works. She works.
It's all hell hath no fury right now with her.
She works for J. Jonah Jameson at a website called the Fact Channel, which is kind of like their TMZ-ish kind of thing. So,
and J. Jonah Jameson loves her.
Yeah, he calls her Analog. He's like, Analog, where's that footage? Yeah,
so it's interesting that he loves her, but he hated Pete. So it's like that sort of thing. Okay.
There's this big thing where she is, of course, off being a superhero and doing shit. So she doesn't come into work for a few days. And people are really, really worried about her. And then she comes back into work. And I'm saying, oh, my God, what happened? And she's like, Jonah's just like, Analog! And like coming into office, like being really, really angry. She's like, oh, shit, I'm going to get fired. He closes the door. As soon as the door closes, he's like, oh my God, are you okay? We've been so worried about you.
You need anything?
Like I couldn't say this to everyone else, but I'm actually worried about you. Are you all right? He's like, aw, JJ.
Yeah, it's quite charming on Jonah's part. So right now there's the storyline crossover going on with these three characters. It's called...
Wait, I do want to say one last thing about what's so interesting. It's not that she's just working undercover in Black Cat's army. First off, they're doing with Black Cat. I thought... Black Cat's the most underused, interesting supervillain, and they're doing a lot with her right now, which I fucking love. And she has this interesting dynamic right now with Silk that she's starting to understand Black Cat's views more and is starting to turn undercover.
Oh, it's becoming Stockholm Syndrome-y a little bit?
No, not that at all. She's like, it's that classic... She's not an agent. She's not a soldier. She's she doesn't like that S.H.I.E.L.D. lies to her and doesn't tell her everything.
Yeah.
She likes that Black Cat is completely honest with her all the time. So she's starting to see Black Cat's ways a little bit more. And there's a little bit of dichotomy of like, is she going and black? And she got infected with the Goblin serum at one time, which is the thing that like almost killed her brother. It's like this huge thing. But Black Cat gave her an antidote and saved her. So she's like really into Black Cat right now. And there's like, she might betray S.H.I.E.L.D., which is like really interesting.
Because they're she's trying to sell the media that she has become a bad guy.
Yeah, she has a fake fight with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Silk does?
Yes.
Oh.
But at the same time, J. Jonah Jameson, like, he doesn't buy it. He's convinced that it's a frame-up. And she's like, damn it, I'm trying to make you vilify me. And the one time you don't vilify a spider person, and it's me. Like, it's all it's crazy.
It's a great little twist.
It's lots of fun. Also, I wanted to mention about the Spider-Gwen, what I thought was interesting is her web shooters. Peter, am I right? She doesn't ever run out of fluid because there technically is no fluid. She has... this technology that pulls moisture from the air around her and creates
the webbing. Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I read that. I was like, oh. And they're like, that way she never actually has to carry fluid. It just, as long as there's enough moisture around her, she can create, which is just another way to create.
Yeah, I never really thought about that. I guess I just assumed she got the shooters from Peter somehow. How did she get the, because she's not a tech genius. How'd she get them?
I had that. It's set here somewhere. I can't remember. Hold on.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, of how she got her shooters.
But that's what I read. And I know Cindy's shooters always gunk up, and she goes through the thing that, like, Peter does, where she's like, damn it, now. And so this, I really am enjoying the Spider-Woman crossover.
Also, I believe Gwen shoots from the top. One of them shoot from the top of their wrist.
Yeah, one's like fingertips, one's from the top. That might be Spider-Gwen.
I think, one of them still does the Spider-Man thing, but it shoots at the top of her hand instead. They all have different, like, web shooting gestures, which are very fun to watch. Yeah, Silk does it, like, with her index finger and middle finger and kind of shoots out of those two fingers.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun, though, for the artist to be able to draw these different ways of shooting the webs.
You've had people do, like, rock and roll for, like, 30 years, so change it up.
The horns.
horns. Yeah.
So right now there's a big crossover Spider-Woman. It starts with this Spider-Woman Alpha, and it goes through Spider-Gwen, Silk, with these three characters. So they have a really neat dynamic because Jessica Drew is kind of like the older mentor to these two girls. Yeah. And what happens
is... How are they crossing over?
This is how they're crossing over. Because Spider-Gwen is part of the Web Warriors, who all have a watch that gets them to jump through dimensions.
Okay.
So Spider-Gwen occasionally has to leave Earth 65 to show up for a meeting with the rest of the gang.
Essentially... At the end of Spider-Verse, because so many universes don't have a Spider-Man net right now, the Web Warriors took the mantle of jumping to all these different universes who don't have Spider-Man anymore and like helping out whenever they need it.
They're kind of like the interdimensional Spider Army.
It sounds like the Britain Corps or whatever.
Well,
Spider-Man UK.
Spider-Man Britain is one of them.
Spider-Ham? I think Ham's in it,
right? Peter Parker, Spider-Ham. Okay, you want to jump to Web Warriors? Here's who is in Web Warriors. We have Mayday Parker, Spider-Woman of Earth 982, who is actually alternate universe Peter Parker's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I forgot Mayday's in it. I love her.
We have Billy Brad.
Both her parents die. She's badass.
Wow. Yeah, no, she is a great spider. Then you have Billy Braddock, who's Spider UK of Earth 33. He's like your Captain Britain Spider-Man. You have Anya Corazon, which is another Spider-Girl of Earth 616. You have Bhavitar Prabhakar, Indian Spider-Man, Spider-Man India. You got Spider-Man Noir, Peter Parker, which is he's just another dark Spider-Man. Then you got Gwen Stacy, Spider-Gwen.
He kills people, I believe.
He's got a gun. This dude actually carries a gun when he has spider powers. He's rough and gruff.
It's noir. No one understands.
And that's what I think he sounds like whenever I read his dialogue. Yeah. I imagine him with just this gruff voice. He's like, spider freaks. And then
Rorschach.
My favorite, Peter. Yeah, he's Rorschach. Peter Porker, the spectacular.
I love Spider-Ham.
I just got to make one note in the Web Warriors. Spider-Man India, they could paint him a little bit darker. He's a little light, and he's got brown hair. Just make him one shade darker brown. Give him black hair. What are you doing? He looks like a white guy. But get him back to
Spider-Man. Kind of like you, actually.
A little bit. It's not far off the thing. So, look, Spider-Gwen goes to Earth 616. And she's hanging out with Jessica Drew and Silk, and they're like, they just want to take her out for a girls' night. Like, Jessica is just done with this baby. She calls Porcupine over to babysit real quick, and they go, and they're like, where are we going? She goes, anywhere but Earth 65. And Spider-Gwen's like, no, we're going to Earth 65. I have a great restaurant. And so they're like, okay, no spider stuff. We're just going to go hang out. Well, unbeknownst to them, someone's been tracking Spider-Gwen on Earth 65. They notice that she disappears every so often, and they're like, whether she's Gwen Stacy or Spider-Gwen, she vanishes. They don't realize she has this watch. So when she pops back, they sense her, and they know that she's with two other spider people, and they send a giant robot after her, but it's all a little bit of a distraction.
Yes, a lot of distraction.
Well, the whole thing is a distraction because they steal her interdimensional watch, and now they're all stuck there, and Jessica's like, I gotta get back to my baby!
Yeah, Jessica is not happy about this.
She's
like, you two bitches. You two little bitches.
So all of this, so Spider-Women occurs on Earth 65? They made this title?
The first part and the second...
They go to Starbucks.
Yeah, it's called Starbucks. There's a lot of, and there's like, they're like, visit Wakanda. And there's a lot of fun interplay. And then it continues in Spider-Gwen. It's going to go through all the titles.
What's the appeal of this book? Because Imran will basically narrate the entire comic.
It's great. The basic premise of the book is brunch gone wrong. Go out to get brunch, and now they're stranded on another planet, and they can't get back. It's great. The thing is, the dynamic between the three girls, it's not like Spider-Gwen and her amazing friends. Silk and Spider-Gwen hate each other.
Women.
Because Silk like kind of betrayed all of the Spider-Man during Spider-Verse.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
She hasn't been a superhero for very long, so she made some pretty dumb, selfish decisions during Spider-Verse, and Spider-Gwen is not forgiving her at all. And Jessica is kind of like semi-teaching Silk how to be a hero. and Gwen's all angsty and shit because she's a rock star. And it's great because they don't all like stay together. They split up and go off. They do their own thing. There's some sort of interest. Silk does her like classic Silk thing because she's on another planet. She discovers something about herself on this planet and like kind of dives off and starts exploring that on her own. So she's really good at like ditching her friends and doing whatever the fuck she wants. So that's real shitty of her. And it's a good comic. It's really fun. It's the three girls. Just it's a good, well written comic.
Well, yeah, Sydney Moon is like, hey, is there a version of me on Earth 65? Yeah. And it kind of spins off from there. And you're right. I love their dynamic together, and they're all kind of they have their own issues, and they gotta kind of work things out. So. So I'm really glad you you turned me on to that because I just read that today. I bought that today and I was like, wow, this is really fun.
It's kind of like three friends who are like kind of friends, but now they're forced together.
Yeah. So we talked about Web Warriors, which to me, I feel like it's the weakest title out of all of them just because there's a lot going on and it gets to be a little bit campy and silly. I mean, they do fun things like they train in the 60s Spider-Man universe, because all you got to do is hit the guy once and they go down. It's so easy.
Just to clarify, so the Web Warriors are this group of spider people that traverse the, I would, for lack of a better term, multiverse.
Yeah, the spider
watch over everything.
Yeah. No, that is the term. Multiverse. Yeah, it is the multiverse. The
okay. I always associate that with DC, but I guess this is
true. They've really pulled a kind of a DC with the Spider-Man multiverse. It's very, very similar to where. You also see that it's not the only multiverse. Some of the villains have their own multiverse with all their versions. There's Electroverse, where all the Electros are joining up to take these guys down.
Yeah, it's all right. It's very similar to what Imran says. The other ones are doing these very interesting, different things. But if you're looking for like a classic, like the supervillains are bad, we got to go save the day and punch some people. Comic book, the Web Warriors are fun.
Yeah, it's a good team, but like it's not my what. So let's move on to a male Spider-Man, which is
there's actually male
spider people from
there's a lot of spider ladies, and they're great.
There's a lot. They're having a lot of fun with these spider ladies, and I think female readers will enjoy this if they get turned on to Spider-Man in the movie now, and they go looking for Spider-Man. I think they'll be really pleasantly surprised that look, there's all these girl spiders in their own titles. But we have a Spider-Man from the future who's stuck in the present, being Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah, he's fun.
Good old Miguel O'Hara. Anthony, you familiar with 2099 at all?
I know the name, and I knew that he was Miguel O'Hara, but other than that, I'm assuming he's from the future.
He's from the year 2099.
He's got a pretty sick costume.
He has an awesome costume. And, you know, this new book is being written by Peter David, who originally, I think he came up with him and wrote some of the original run, which was so good because it deals with Alchemax and the building of this company and his lineage, his family being involved in Alchemax. But during Spider-Verse.
What's Miguel like? I want to know what he's like.
He's a lot more brutal than Pete. He doesn't joke as much. He's a lot more efficient because in his. He's from like a dystopian, like industry driven future.
Yeah.
His, it's his grandpa, right? Is the one who like is run. His grandpa is the head of the most evil corporation ever.
Oof. Becomes Alchemax. Yeah.
Yeah. And he has to like, he's kind of Tony Stark esque where he like a bunch of his experiments, like he's not a mechanic. He's a genetics genius.
He's good at genetics. And like you said, he's got some cool tech. Like he has a hologram assistant on his wrist named Lila. She pops up. It's a woman, very much like Gideon in The Flash. Like there's a lot of similarities. But Kendall's right. He's no nonsense. He wants to get shit done. And during the Spider-Verse event, he came back to prevent his grandfather from getting killed, even though he is going to become evil. But if that happens, he doesn't exist. Yep. And he gets stuck in present time on Earth.
And he's now working for his grandpa. And
now he's working for Alchemax to make sure.
He's his bodyguard, right?
I
believe he's his bodyguard.
He's working for the Alchemax of Earth 616.
In his past.
He's from the future of 616.
Yeah, got it. Okay, got it.
And he's now in the past defending his grandpa, who will grow up and make this super evil company that he's going to fight in the future, but kill him now because he would die.
Ooh, that's an interesting.
Yeah, he can't stop them. He has to make sure that they do become an evil fucking corporation. Yeah,
it's really interesting.
Are you liking this title, Peter?
Yeah, it's a lot of him being like, God damn it. He's like, my grandpa's a son of a bitch. It's really fun. He's a very different Spider-Man who's a lot of fun to listen to.
He's conflicted in a lot of decisions, and you kind of have to like stop and think, like, no, wait, you have to do this, because if you don't, but it's well done. This is, like I said, Peter David, amazing writer.
Miguel O'Hara, is he Hispanic?
He is.
Yes, he is. Yes, he cracks jokes very occasionally. They're pretty good, but it's just like, did Miguel just make a fucking joke? It's like it comes out of nowhere.
Got it.
And then I want to move on to my favorite out of all the current titles right now. It's just called Spider-Man. It's Miles Morales.
Ooh, this is one I read.
African-American Spider-Man from the Ultimate Universe, who now,
he's not African-American.
Oh, he's half Latino and half...
Half Hispanic, half African-American.
I mean, he even says in the book, I don't want to be the Black Spider-Man. I don't want that qualification. He's like, I'm half Latino.
I love that little... That little monologue he has about, like, oh, don't you, isn't it cool you're the Black Spider-Man? He's like, I don't want to care. That's what it even goes into the title of his comic. His title of his comic is not The Amazing, The Incredible. It's just Spider-Man. That's all he wants to be. He just wants to be Spider-Man.
So after Secret Wars, the Ultimate Universe got shoved with this one. And, you know, before his mom, of course, they did, one of his parents has to die and his mom was killed. But now everybody's been restored. He's got his whole family back.
Can I explain this, actually? All right. So this Miles Morales was actually part of a different Earth. And in Secret Wars, these Earths collided and he came over to our Earth. And there's this character called Molecule Man who was kind of pulling the strings on a lot of this shit, and he was really hungry. And Miles happened to have a burger on his person that was really old and gave it to Molecule Man. And to thank him, because Molecule Man was super hungry, he restored Miles's life with his parents being back alive and bringing over Genki, who's Miles's friend, over to our Earth. And now Miles is living a better home life than he had before.
Yeah, but the death of his mother was great.
Yeah, it was good though. It was so, his mother.
Since you can go back, Venom kills his mom, and it's such a fucking brutal, sad scene. It's great.
It was you got to give him the Uncle Ben moment if you're going to be a Spider-Man. And that was his Uncle Ben moment, but I also,
someone you love's got to bite it.
Yeah, always. So how he gets his powers is his dad's brother, who is the Prowler in that universe, stole a genetically altered spider. Well, the spider kind of just crawled into his bag. I don't think he meant to steal the spider.
Yeah.
And then it gets out and bites him. And he has really cool different powers than Peter. He has an electric zap that's very powerful. And he can turn invisible.
Which is cool.
That's like one of the best abilities you could have to camouflage.
He's also got a pretty sweet costume.
I love his costume. And in this reboot, the Spider-Man, he meets Peter Parker. And Peter even admits, like, yeah, you got a cooler costume than I do, kid. And I love his costume. So in this battle, like, it's great because in the introduction of the new number one, like, all the Avengers are down. And he actually ditches class to go see what the hell's going on.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And he's like,
oh, shit.
He's like, I got to get in trouble. But he has to juggle school. He's got to juggle his grades. And he picks up Captain America's shield and takes this guy down. And then Peter shows up and he's like, dude, what did you do?
That was such a great moment, him showing up like, what the fuck, man?
And he's like, what are you doing with that shield? Put it down. It's vibranium. Do you know how much that costs?
He's like, it's vibranium. That's expensive.
That's expensive. And Miles is like, is this happening? But yeah, in the ensuing battle, he gets his costume ripped. And of course, in this age of everyone's videoing everything on their phones, it breaks on YouTube. I love this. The girl puts out a video. She's like, oh my God, the new Spider-Man's a person of color. And she's so excited. And that's where you get that little conversation where he's like, I don't want that qualifier. I just want to be Spider-Man. But he's clearly got to learn to take a little more care with his secret identity. He's learning on the fly.
Yeah. And if you want the classic Spider-Man in high school, balancing social life with grades, with his friends and his secret identity, this is what you're getting. And
that's what it seems like.
He lives at this, like, this prestige. He got into this like kind of prestigious high school, and he dorms there.
It's like a boarding school, also,
yeah. And he like also goes back home. I think on weekends he goes back home.
Yeah.
Him and his boy, I like Yankee a lot.
Yankee,
Yankee's great,
dude. Yeah. This is like it's like really good, like TV, like TV writing. These two together, it's so the dialogue. So again, superstar team: Brian Michael Bendis writing, Sarah Pacelli, who's amazing, and she wrote it before or drew it before. The dialogue is spot on. It's so real and organic.
Yeah.
And he pals around with Miss Marvel, and he's part of the Avengers. Something. Yeah.
Two questions. First, does this title like kind of? I feel like it kind of occurs in real time because I remember reading the original Miles Morales number one, and he was a little bit younger. But now I feel like he's teenager. Like I feel like he started out as kind of like a 12-year-old, maybe.
Yeah,
I guess he was really short.
Yeah, you're right. He does seem a lot. He does seem like 15 or 16.
Yeah,
now.
That's been like 3 or 4 years now, right? Of this title.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I didn't notice that. He does. He is. Yeah,
I would say he's like a junior or senior, possibly.
Now, did you guys think, both of you guys, now you guys are both big Spider-Man fans, did you think Miles Morales would get this popular? Like, I feel like he's almost now a huge part of the Marvel Universe.
I got the same feeling when they revealed Miles as I did when they revealed Gwen. It's like, oh, this isn't just another Spider-Man. This is you could do a lot with this. And It spoke a lot to, I'm going to try my best not to get in trouble saying this, but a lot of the reason why Peter Parker back in the day appealed to people because a lot of the people that were reading comic books were white, nerdy kind of exiles, and it appealed to people. And now a lot of the time, a lot of comic book readers are young, black, young Hispanic children, and that's appeals to them directly. Like, we got to give one of something for them. And though I knew his titles were going to shoot up because first they fucking Bendis.
Yeah.
And because it's going to appeal to that generation who read it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Imran?
I know, absolutely. I think once, you know, if you were a person, a little kid, like Kendall said, a Latino kid or African-American kid, you finally could see a Spider-Man that could be you. You finally see yourself, much like all the white nerdy kids did in the 60s. But he's kept the essence of this thing with a whole amazing backstory and relationship that feels grounded and it feels very modern. And so now, as our adult CEO, Parker Industries, Peter Parker, is gallivanting around the world, Miles is taking care of New York, and he's part of one of the many Avengers teams.
Yeah.
He's friends with Miss Marvel, who's also a teenager, and they have a great relationship because she's kind of going through the same thing. She's a daughter of a Muslim Pakistani immigrant family who they're even more don't understand the world, whereas, you know, his parents are on his ass for his grades.
Do you get to the part where his grandma pops up?
Yes, it's hilarious.
His grandma's great.
She takes his phone, and he's so pissed that it's just like a kid.
That's the last one I read, and she even what's the famous Mary Jane line that she says?
Face a tiger, you hit the jackpot.
Yeah, she says something very similar, except she's like, face it, tigre, and says something like, I'm going to kick your ass or something like that.
Yeah, And he's so pissed off she took his phone because the Avengers are going to call him on that phone to save the world.
Yeah, she goes, face it, tigre, you're about to get a big old kick in the culo. It says culo! Oh, that's so great.
It's a very good, fun title.
And his dad hates his wife's mom, so there's also, and she hates him because he had a deadbeat brother who was the Prowler. And
I'm kind of upset that the Prowler's gone because there's this really great arc where Prowler, of course, he figured out like, oh, there's this new Spider-Man around. I just broke into a Spider-Man facility. It's probably my nephew. Like, he figures it out.
Yep.
And then his whole like Peter Parker becoming a luchador and like using his powers for greedy things is his uncle just exploiting him for jobs.
Yeah.
It's this really interesting arc of his uncle just blackmailing the shit out of him.
That was great. And his dad's like, you stay away from him. And and he was just really
didn't his dad not like heroes at one time?
He hates all superheroes. He still does. Superheroes.
Okay. Yeah. So does he still keep that from his dad that he's a superhero? I'm not sure where that's at.
I think his dad knows.
I think his dad knows. Yeah, I think only his dad knows, and Genki, of course.
Yeah, and his dad, and then like Miss Marvel and shit like that.
Right.
Because there's times where his dad's like being really cool to him, you know, where his mom is like, get on him. And he goes, you're gonna get better grades? Okay, fine. Yeah. Make sure you do it. And like you kind of get that. He's got his back because he knows what he's going through.
Now, here's another question for you guys. Pull out your crystal balls.
Ooh.
Not your testicles, Imran.
Oh, boy.
Geek Boner.
Out of all these different spider people, which one makes it to the big screen first?
Man.
Gwen has become stupidly popular quickly. Like, so quickly. She's, like, so quickly people have fallen in love with her. She took over Marvel covers. Did you see the Gwen variants everything?
Yeah, there was a Gwen.
Everything? People loved her. And then Gwenpool just came out.
Oh, wait. We got to get to that because I don't understand what the fuck is going on there.
It's so good.
But I think it would be between Miles and Spider-Gwen.
It's Miles or Gwen. It's a toss-up. Yeah.
At least because Sony was thinking of building their own Spider-Verse and now with Marvel having it. I know Marvel's kind of got the mechanisms in place to have a black Captain America with Falcon already introduced. And
yeah.
Jane Foster could be the female Thor. You know, I don't know if Natalie Portman's going to stick around, but we don't know yet. We're just getting a young Peter Parker right now, but you know, if these characters stay popular, especially with diversity being a huge thing now, you know, I could see maybe a Spider-Gwen or Miles Morales make an appearance.
With
right?
With the introduction of Doctor Strange, like in that movie, we're going to get the weird part of Marvel, like the multiverse, the alternate dimensions. And if they're going to do anything, they're going to introduce alternate dimensions in that movie and then make alternate dimension movies.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, man.
What I think they would do.
Dude, you just blew my mind.
Like, we're not going to introduce Miles Morales or Spider-Gwen to the main MCU. That's just going to be a spin-off something.
Ah, that's a good point.
Well, and part of this deal with Sony, they've said that Marvel has all creative control. Sony's just there to put the movie out.
Yeah, Sony, they have to like, there's the contract says they have to like have Sony agree with them. They're like, shut the fuck up. Just sign this. Let us do Spider-Man.
So, yeah.
You know, all the insider reports that I read online, and it's online or whatever, but they're all like, they're letting Marvel run the show. And Sony's just like, all right, cool.
You guys had five chances with
Spider-Man. Exactly. Sony, enjoy him. Sony should just go in the other room and wait till we call you to put the movie out, people.
That makes sense because I think Sony has all the distribution rights. I think they're going to make most of the profit off these films anyway. So just like, yeah, all right. We'll trust you. Let's just go ahead. Yeah.
We've seen the MCU knows how to handle their characters. They should trust them. They blew their chances and they didn't know what they were doing. And now they can play in the full awesome MCU sandbox and the Spider-Man universe sandbox. Like, it's very exciting.
I don't know if they would ever do like the whole Doc Ock arc in Spider-Man. Like, who the fuck, if they did like a superior Spider-Man movie, I would be very surprised and very happy. But can we talk about Gwenpool?
Okay, so now this one weird character that's not really a spider character, but just off the fact that it's a Gwen Stacy. What is Gwenpool? How did this happen?
So what I just brought up before about how there were Gwen variants on everything. There was like Gwen Thor, Gwen Hulk, Gwen thing. There was one Gwenpool that really caught on. Like, a lot of people were looking at her outfit just like, that's not really just like Gwen goofing around in a Deadpool outfit. That looks like a real legit new character of something we could do. So the great concept of it is Deadpool. The idea of Deadpool is that he's the only comic book character who knows he's in a comic book. Gwenpool twists that on its head because now she's the only real person. She's from our world and she knows she's in a comic book.
Oh yeah. Someone told me about, you?
I think so. She's a reader.
She's us. Yes. She's from our, like, as if this Earth was another one of the universes.
Oh, that's she's trippy. In a comic.
Yeah.
Or she knows she's in a comic, at least.
Whereas Wade Wilson is a comic book, self-aware comic book character.
Yes, she is us.
Wow, like, that's crazy.
She fights a Sentinel and is able to defeat it because she remembers the Sentinel's moves from Marvel vs. Capcom, the arcade game.
Oh, shit. That's pretty clever.
That's awesome. That's the kind of stuff she's going to get.
And I believe her first appearance was in the new Howard the Duck. Number one is the season.
Just to clarify, she's the Gwen Stacy that would exist on this Earth.
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't gotten her full. She hasn't revealed how she got into the comic book yet. She hasn't revealed her personal backstory.
But that'd be kind of cool if she was actually just like a random ass Gwen Stacy Yes. Just happened to be named Gwen Stacy.
Peter's got to run, but before he does, Peter, where can the people find you? What do you what are your shows up to?
Hi. Oh, no, it's not that much of a, I just need to head out. Where, how do I jump? HD1jump.com, HD1jump.com. You can come check us out. I'm going to be on a cruise ship for 6 months, yeah, being an actor.
Nice.
So I'm performing on a cruise ship, a Norwegian ship, for 6 months, which is fantastic and great. We'll have the shittiest internet, and I'll be doing as much as I can from there. But the site's mostly going to be run by the other guys. They're going to continue the Weekly Jump. They're going to do it. They're taking it all over. I'm very excited to see how the Weekly Jump feels with all of them at the helm instead of me.
You feel confident? How you feel about it?
I mean, it's always weird giving away your baby.
Yeah.
And I have realized all the small, because I didn't realize I've been running How Do I Jump for like five or six years.
Wow.
And I didn't realize all the small nuanced things that I've learned over the years. So I'm like telling them like, oh yeah, just record, post it here and do this. And then they're sending me questions like, hey Pete, it's not posting right. I'm like, oh yeah, you got to put the bracket on the left side. Also share it at 2 p.m. Don't share it at 2:30 because 2 o'clock's better. Like I'm realizing as I'm telling them, like, oh yeah, there's a lot more complicated things.
There's a lot of little things that you just, having doing it myself, yeah, that you just do that you forget.
Like, oh yeah, you should plug the microphone in first and then open up the thing. You have to close out Audacity and open it back. Like, this is the small nuanced things. I'm like, oh yeah, you guys don't know every little thing.
You need to leave them with like a manual, a user's manual.
Well, that's why, yeah, I'm still here for 2 more weeks and they're running the jump. So I'm letting them do it on their own, and they can still like ask me any questions. The jump's, it's going to be fine. They're posting it fine. They're going fine. We've got articles. They have their own. We have even new podcasts coming up. We're doing a D&D podcast that people are recording right now.
Wow.
Like, How Do I Dungeons & Dragons? That's awesome. I listened to the first episode. It's hilarious and fantastic. There's this whole niche of Dungeons & Dragons podcast that's just recordings of people playing D&D. It's great. There's a lot of them, by the way.
Wow.
That's awesome.
We're doing one. But I'm sorry, what?
No, I was just going to say, but I've told this to you before, dude. Peter Kendall, hardest working man in podcasting and entertainment. Like, for you to be a gigging actor, that alone is not an easy job. That's a hustle in itself. But you're working the podcast, you're working your passion, you're working your stuff, and I can't thank you enough for hanging out and geeking out with Spider-Man.
Yeah, because, man, this is awesome.
Because I would love to do it more.
Have fun time on the ship. Don't get cabin
fever.
We'll
have to have you back on once you get back and see.
6 months.
Goes. Yep, 6 months. We'll remember you.
Don't get too big.
I want to know about the boat experience, because that is some awesome stuff. And then when you become famous, we have you on our show, and we can exploit you for some audio.
Yeah, then I'll play a superhero, and like you can interview me.
Oh shit! Can you imagine if Kendall gets a superhero? Oh my god!
I've thought about it. I've thought about it a lot. You know how much I go to the gym? It sucks, but I've thought, if anything, the best superhero that I would most likely play would be Nova, because they're hinting at Nova so much in Guardians with the Nova Force and everything like that. And I'm so surprised they haven't announced a Nova movie. And I'm like, I would play the shit out of Nova.
Would you play the Richard Rider Nova?
I would play the shit. But okay, I'm going to go now. This is a question I actually had for you, Imran.
Yes.
Because Anthony inspired me this, or one of you guys did, I forget, by calling me. I always think of like Webhead, Wallcrawler. Like, what's your favorite Spider-Man nickname?
Oh man,
he has a million.
He has so many. Shit, I can't think of it on the
today,
spot.
Today, Imran,
there's no way I could think of this on the spot.
All right, get back to me in 6 months.
I will. I've done too many drugs to pull up that information. What's your favorite? You got one?
It's a toss up between Webhead and Wallcrawler.
Webhead is the classic. You gotta love Webhead, because the Human Torch calls him that. J. Jonah, his enemies.
Throw one out there before Peter goes. I like when Kingpin just refers to him as Insect.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Pretty good.
That's a good one. They just call him the Bugs here.
This annoying bug, I will crush you. Dude, from one Spider-Man fan to another, Kendall, thanks for your time, and thanks for turning on our listeners. Hopefully you guys go out, pick up some of these books, now that we've given you a little Spider-Verse breakdown of what's going on in the comic books.
Read them all!
Read them all. Support your local comic book shop!
All right, Pete. We'll see you. Good luck, man. Best of
luck. Thank you all so much. It's been a blast. I'm going to miss you guys.
We'll catch you back on land. The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
So again, we got to thank Peter Kendall. He had to run, so we couldn't have him on for our usual, 2 hour and a half to 2 hour.
He first was like, "Is this going to be a 3 hour cast?" And I was like, "Dude, we'll do it. We can do it in an hour.
We'll
it's fine.
Work around your schedule." Yeah,
yeah, we tightened it up.
No, thanks again to him for coming on. HD One Jump is a great site as well as a great podcast, and they do a bunch of other shit as well. So check that out.
He is a busy man. I don't know how he's
6 months on the ship acting.
And like they have shows, they have so many shows over there, and they're always posting stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
Do they still do Geek Chorus and all that stuff?
Yeah, Geek Chorus. He doesn't even. That's like somebody else is running that now. He kind of birthed that and moved on. And then he's got awesome indie interviews. If you like interview shows, he talks to a lot of game developers and just independent creators. He's a great interviewer. So check those out, listener. I'll put links in the show notes, of course, episode jockandnerd.com, or just look in your podcast app.
I gotta say, as a fan. As a non-Spider-Man fan?
Yeah.
Because you guys were kind of boning each other and doing a little Spider-Man dick measuring.
It was great. I love doing that with Ken.
But as a person that doesn't read these titles religiously, if I were to get back into buying comic books, which I'm not going to do anytime soon, I would probably buy the Miles Morales stuff the Spider-Gwen stuff. Although the Spider-Woman stuff sounded pretty interesting too. Silk was kind of meh, and the other ones I didn't really care for.
I would recommend definitely checking out Miles Morales' Spider-Man. He turned me on to Spider-Woman. I wasn't reading that, but reading the Spider-Woman crossover, I think that's another great way to get into this.
The wet one's good, too.
Yeah, because you get to meet three at a time. And, Spider-Gwen's a lot of fun. It's just crazy to think, opposite to the 90s, where there was 17 Spider-Man titles of Spider-Man, where they diluted it, there's like 7 or 8 different Spider People titles, and they're all got a little nice, unique spin of their own thing. And then they all come together in like Web Warriors. Like, it's nuts. It's fun with
it. Well, and it seems like they're hitting a lot of different demographics, too. You got Peter Parker, white guy. You got Miles Morales, Hispanic, black guy. Miguel O'Hara's Mexican, right?
Cindy Moon, I believe, is Asian.
Cindy Moon, I believe she is Asian, I think.
Yeah.
And then you got two other women. So, you know, you got a lot of things going on. Marvel's doing a good job on the print being diverse. Now if we could just get that on the big screen, huh?
And I would be reading I'd be reading all these right now if I think, like Anthony just kind of alluded to, we're scaling back to buying weekly. It's cost. I mean, cost is one thing, and space. But this room is full of 3,000 comic books. I don't have any more room. I'm just going to have to wait for the trades, people.
Time, too.
Because
you not only do you read these, you know, once, but then in my case, and I'm sure Imran's the same way, you get the next title maybe 2 weeks if it's double shipping or if it's the next month, and you kind of forget what happened. So then you got to read that. You got to like at least glance back at that title again. So
it's very different.
Doesn't seem very efficient.
It's different from like when I was a kid reading. We didn't have any TV shows to watch, so month-to-month reading was not a problem. It felt good. But now, in this fucking binge Netflix society, you're like, damn it, this was so slow. I got to wait another month. And then every week we're watching these shows, and I don't keep the story straight in my head anymore. It's so much content and storyline swimming around.
It's almost a topic for another time, the effect of binge-watching on everyday life.
I worry about moving our future. How is this affecting our brain? Listen, listener, thanks for hanging out. I hope if you're not a Spider-Man fan, I hope we were able to turn you on a little bit, because everyone's going to see Civil War. You are going to be excited about Spider-Man again. For the next year, we're going to have Spider-Man geek news coming out. I want you guys to support your local comic book store. Check out some of these books if it's piqued your interest at all. Links into the show notes.
And you can also email us about this or contact us, and we can help you out with Imran can help you out with some recommendations.
You got any questions, just send them this way, show@jockandnerd.com.
Or very broadly, if you don't want to email us, jockandnerd.com/contact.
There's many ways to do that. So just before we leave, we got to mention, of course, we do weekly shows on Blab. Check those out. Check out jockandnerd.com/live. That's where you can meet the Rug Boy. And if you want some fun merch, some Jock and Nerd swag, we got that for you too, listener. jockandnerd.com/shop. You can put our logo on shirts, hoodies, mugs.
By the time this show comes out, will have done the weekly blab.
Yes.
So catch Jock and Nerd 97, that live show, whether it be on YouTube or on our site, because we will be modeling some of that merch on the show, and I guarantee you will think me and Imran both look ridiculous.
It's going to be great.
Terrific.
I got to thank all the networks who are on. Thanks for carrying the show. Thank you to Weebie Geeks, A Place to Hang Your Cape, and the Tangent Bound Network. And you can hear our latest show on geekliferadio.com every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Central. It's a geek stream. I might send this to Peter. I want to tell Peter to get his show on there, too. I think it would be a good fit on Geek Life Radio.
Seems like a decent fit.
Just another platform for distribution. Geekliferadio.com. Wednesday nights. Check it out.
You should also, if you like this show, and we've been actually here, I actually want to kind of thank our fans right now.
Absolutely.
Because Imran and I have both noticed a huge uptick in the amount of listeners we're getting per episode and the amount of downloads we're getting every day. And I think it's because of you guys, actually.
Absolutely.
Because we've been doing this, you know, awesome, or we've been doing these shows and we've been asking you guys to do, you know, a little bit of a call to action and tell your friends and share it and go on iTunes and review us, because all these things actually help our show get out there to the masses. So if you like what we're doing, go on to iTunes and give us a nice rating and review. You know, tell your friends about the show. It's actually working. The show is actually getting popular amongst the geek community, and it's all because of you guys.
You guys are killing it. We can't thank you enough. Instead of yelling at you to tell your friends this one show, listener, we're just going to say thank you for your support. Thanks for spreading the gospel of
Jockin' Nerd
and Rug Boy. We're getting emails from our listeners. We're getting to meet a lot of them. We're getting on first name basis. Think of all the listeners we know on the first name, Anthony. Like, we're making friends, which is one of the reasons I wanted to do this. I wanted to make friends. This is a place where we embrace everyone's different, from geek, jock to nerd, geek to freak. You're all welcome here. This is for you. This is for us.
We've been getting emails. We get messages. We get messages on Twitter. We get people calling us, leaving us SMS messages. Some people send us really strange videos. It's kind of weird, but it's cool. Whatever. We appreciate everything. And like I just said, it's really working with the call to action. So keep it going.
So awesome.
If you like what we're doing, get on to Jock and, you can contact us or jockandnerd.com/review and give us a nice rating review. It bumps us up on iTunes so that when people are looking for nerdy podcasts or even sporty podcasts, we pop up. So it's all been working.
Thank you. You guys are truly
Rugboy approved.
This has been the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Thank you for every second you spend with us. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's a nerd.
And we'll hear you next time.
Bro, do you even podcast?